The White Noise Podcast is an independent production. If we offend you, or if you don't like what we have to say, just remember that aside from the name that we borrowed, we have no affiliation with Gizmodo or Gawker Media. Thanks for checking us out, and don't forget to subscribe.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You got White Noise.
The White Noise podcast, where we talk about gadgets and technology. Hey, Becca's on the live tweet. We've got Vivo number 9. Bazooka's doing reviews, and Raja's killing time. It's hit a new low just by singing this song. Gonzo doesn't give a shit, but this has gone on too long. Oh, the White Noise podcast, episode 11's here. With an awesome cast!
Oh my god.
Excellent.
Oh, fucking A, man.
Now, was that improvised or did you write that out?
Oh, you know he wrote that down.
Absolutely written down.
I wrote that down. Actually, there was a different roster when I wrote this. So I had like more people. We had Kevlar on here. We had Agrippa and stuff like that. And that just totally threw me off that two people dropped. So
it was beautiful.
Love it.
But yeah, that was like a last minute edit. But hi, welcome to episode 11 of the White Noise Podcast.
Hello.
Let it be known, Callus has no freestyle skills. All his shit is written.
Yeah. Hey, I don't care. That was epic.
By the way, that's going to be auto-tuned.
Oh, God.
Yes. T. Callus.
As we mentioned in the song, this is a podcast about gadgets, technology, industry gossip, things like that. Hit us up at Twitter at twitter.com/noisecast as well as thewhitenoisepodcast.com. Special episode 11 right before Christmas, which is coming up in a few days. We have special guests tonight. Ron Taraj.
Hello, hello.
Benguin.
Howdy.
Who's also doing a live tweet. Gonzo Ryder.
How's it going, people?
Vito number 9.
I rolled 20s.
And Bazooka Fox.
Hold your applause. Hold your applause.
And, of course, your talented singer for the evening, me, Stephen Callis. Welcome, everybody, to episode 11. We're going to start off with something a little bit different tonight. We decided that this is a good milestone for us to talk about how this podcast came into fruition and where it all began and sort of the hurdles we had to overcome and how it all works behind the scenes. Because, you know, we've had 10 episodes. This is the 11th one. So what better time to do it than right now? So I know at the very beginning of this podcast was started way back in the first days of Tiny Chat from Gizmodo's White Noise hashtag page, where I believe OrcFic created a Tiny Chat, and we just sort of took it from there, getting face-to-face and voice-to-voice interaction with people. And I think somebody said, wouldn't it be crazy if we all got together on this on a mic like this and did a podcast? Sort of where it took off. Anybody remember the rest of the story?
I think most of that was OrcFic, and then
Agrippa joined
got
in.
Involved.
Which is funny because OrcFic still has never been on the podcast.
He is a member of our podcast, but you have never heard him. He's a
keep in mind the early days of the Tiny Chat. Everyone was just hammered while on cam. So
tired.
Thank you, alcohol, for
so
this
nothing
podcast.
Has changed, essentially.
No.
Gonzo's keeping it alive.
I'm doing it.
Pretty much, I think we mentioned that we sort of laughed it off, but I think somebody took it and actually organized it, and we had episode 0, which was sort of like a test run, where we had no idea what we were doing. We're just thought, hey, it's just going to be like Tiny Chat. We're going to go on there. We're going to talk about stupid shit. And
we had like 12
happened.
People on there.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Train wreck.
And I think we ended up talking about AT&T for like half an hour, which we decided then, whoa, we need to have a format and we got to start figuring shit out. And that's where I believe it was asked in White Noise who wants to be part of it and who wants to moderate and shit like that. And I had no idea. I was like, whatever, I'll moderate. You know, I thought it was going to be like moderating on Gizmodo. And there was going to be a couple moderators, I think. There would be a rotation, so I would be on like every second or third or fourth week or something like that. And yeah, that's what I signed up for, and here I am on every single episode somehow.
You're not on every single episode. There's episode beta.
Oh, yes, which was the one after zero and the one before number one, where I wasn't on that one.
The purgatory. I think that was the worst episode.
I still haven't listened to it, to be honest with you.
You're not missed anything. I was on it, like, and I will vouch for it, and you don't need to listen to it.
It was poor.
Yeah, wait, so literally that means Gonzo has been on every episode, and Callus has it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow.
Gonzo's got the perfect track record.
I do.
But, no, I don't know if those are on the feeds, the iTunes or Zune feeds. I don't think they are. I think episode zero was for a little bit, just for people to get a taste of it. But yeah. Probably when we release our special edition DVD, you know, with bonus material, we'll have it on there.
I think the TeamSpeak episode was just shot into space and never to be heard from again.
No, it didn't happen. No.
For good reason.
What it was TeamSpeak never episode? Heard by people.
What TeamSpeak episode?
Exactly.
No, but episode 00 was where Flammable Gonorrhea was the inception of Flammable Gonorrhea.
That is true. And Callus's porno, One Night in Callus. So I guess for posterity, we should keep it around somewhere.
Yeah. All right. But no, we've actually come a long way since those days. We've gotten a lot more organized, as you know, with our intros and outros. And the person to thank for that is Ron Tourage himself. And Ron, if you want to give us a little breakdown of how pretty much this happens, what do you do?
All right. Well, when we started off, it was between me and Orphic, who I'm sure everybody knows is a DJ. And
he can mix two songs at one time.
He can do that. I've heard him do it, and he's very good at it. But, you know, because I constantly need to be validated, I decided to steal it from him and do it on my own. So, I mean, it's pretty simple, really. Callus, you send me the audio every week, and I throw it into GarageBand and just put a song at the beginning and the end, and I threw together a little intro a while back. And
which is fucking badass.
Yeah, the intros now I'm very happy with. You know, we've had Mary Mac added some vocals to it, and then we, you know, I've tweaked it a little bit along the way, and it's gotten to I'm very happy with it now. Wouldn't and then yeah, touch. Just music. Which honestly, the music thing, I appreciate the fact that not everybody likes the music that I like. So I've been trying to look for things that people might like that aren't me. So if anybody listening or if anybody involved with the podcast has a song that they want to hear in the intro and outro of the podcast, feel free to contact whoever about it, and I'll try and get it in there because I'm running out of options. And then, yeah, from there, I send it off to Agrippa, and he uploads it to everything, and then you see it on the site and the iTunes and everything.
If you want to send your musical suggestions to us, you can always tweet them to us at Noisecast, as well as email them to us at the.noisecast@gmail.com.
Right. All that stuff that I don't know.
And be sure to check the website. Has thanks to Ron Taraj again, who also does the website, has a new little Christmas theme for the holidays. So want to check that out at thewhitenoisepodcast.com.
But, I like it.
Yeah, Ron, you also do the website, which it's come a long way, and you've done an awesome job at it too, just getting it all together and getting it stable and stuff, and just having a good, sleek, and minimal layout to it. So
we're professional now, thanks to you.
Yes.
Right, so, right. Keep the compliments coming. I'm listening.
But, I mean, we're detailing the evolution of the podcast for the first time episode, so
now we're going to point out what you did himself. Wrong.
All right, great.
We'll get to that in a minute. We got a lot to say to you. No, but
the only thing Ron has ever done that I didn't like was for a couple of episodes he got bored with the intro and he was fucking with the speed of Callus's voice.
I auto-tuned it and, you know, slowed it down and sped it up all throughout. I was sitting there bored out of my mind while I was editing it, and I just kept doing that, and it sounded like crap, and I was like, this is perfect.
No more drunk editing.
We have gotten some observations, though, from users that the intro is a little bit on the long side.
They can deal with it.
That's why they invented fast forward, goddammit.
We have no listeners. What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't know. This is just me, but when I listen to it, you know, you do the disclaimer, which is just kind of, it needs to be there. So that's, we'll take that out of the equation. But the intro and then going into the song, whenever I listen to it, it kind of like gives me a little amped to hear stuff. And then it goes into the podcast, and then that slowly dies as the podcast goes on because it's terrible. So we need a strong intro to at least grab some attention.
All right. Also, for the next few episodes, since we are evolving and we are changing, you might notice some changes in the in this podcast as well. Nothing that's going to piss you off or anything. Pretty much, we're working on getting a more streamlined name and everything like that. So if all of a sudden you tune in one day and it's no longer the White Noise Podcast and it's plain old The Noise Cast, don't freak. It's still us. It's still the crew you love.
Maybe then we can get rid of the disclaimer.
Yes. That'll be our true
I think that's the eventual goal.
But yeah. I had to protest to Agrippa about that because I went out and bought the domain, thewhitenoisepodcast.com.
We will reimburse you your $11.25.
Hey, I bought it for 2 years. It was $22.
Whoa. You got the podcast by the balls now.
Yeah.
But that was just a little peek at what happens behind the scenes. We also do a topic list every weekend, by the way. We do a Google Maps topic list where we all pretty much...
Google Maps topic list? Yeah.
We map that shit out.
It's like we lay it out by geographic location.
We do more work than you think.
Google
From
Docs
topic one, travel 800 yards, then make a left.
But we do a Google Docs topic list where we find interesting stories on the web that are related to the podcast, and we'll post them on there saying that we want to talk about them. And usually we have some smart-ass commentary going on in there by some other people who are involved, you know, whether or not we should do it or not. But
and 90% of it doesn't get touched because we just start ranting about random shit.
And I do believe if you look at our show notes, I think they just copy and paste it on there. So all the unnecessary bullshit is still in the show notes.
Yeah, that's a little Easter egg you could find.
Yes. So yes, that was the little background on the podcast. Awesome.
Ta-da.
Yay.
Now, oh, something I want to point out in case people don't notice is a cool little thing Ron does is I don't know how it works with Zunes or anything like that, but at least on iPods and in iTunes, if you go and take a look at the album art while we're talking about stuff, he puts a picture of what we're doing and keeps it relevant. So good job, Ron.
Oh, thanks.
This is turning into like the Ron, you know, praise episode.
You know, keep it coming. I'm into it. No, actually, that was something I started doing, and I hate doing that, but now I'm kind of stuck doing it forever.
Oh, ha.
So,
joke's on you.
Yeah, because now I actually have to listen to the entire podcast to edit it, which is just...
Yes. We're making you work for all those $22 and some odd cents.
That you spent.
Paying off. That you spent, yes. Give yourself an allowance off of that every week.
Great. maybe I can win one of those gift cards you were talking about.
Gee, this is a great point to talk about that.
How about that for a segue?
Yes, stay tuned. Sometime during this episode, we're going to be giving out a trivia question, and you may win a chance at getting an Amazon.com gift card on Christmas. So keep listening. I'm not going to tell you when, but sometime during this episode, you'll be notified about the trivia question and how to enter this contest. So,
exciting.
I'm excited, even though I can't win, but I'm excited.
Yes, and no blackmailing the podcast participants.
Unless you really want to, then you can try.
That'll make me feel good.
Well, Christmas is around the corner, so we'll start out with some Christmassy themed news. Starting off with the United Arab Emirates erecting an $11 million Christmas tree.
Sounds about right.
Wow.
What the hell are they thinking?
Why not?
They got spirit. Full of cheer.
But isn't that I'm not an expert, but I think that's a mostly Arab country. Do they celebrate Christmas in Muslim?
No, they Islam.
In Muslim.
I don't think they do.
God, Gonzo.
I'm sorry.
I think at this point they just like doing everything better than the United States and the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an insult. It's like, we don't even celebrate this fucking holiday. Take that, America.
Yeah.
But the Christmas tree, it's bizarre because how the hell do you get, you fit $11 million worth of shit on a Christmas tree? And pretty much it's like got diamonds and pearls and emeralds. Pretty much every precious stone you could imagine is somehow decorating this tree. I think 181 diamonds is what it has, and it's.
Do they have armed guards on that shit? Because I would fucking rob it in a heartbeat.
Apparently, from the picture, it's sitting in the middle of a hotel lobby in a rotunda, just sitting there, people walking around and stuff.
Well, they better watch out for the Grinch.
The tree itself is about $10,000. So.
Yeah. Just the tree is $10,000.
Yes, it's a 40-foot tree.
That seems marked up to me. Like, they probably went to some, like, lumberyard and, like, we want this big tree. We're, money is no issue.
Evergreens don't grow in the desert. They have to bring it in from somewhere else.
Get a helicopter in for Russia or something.
Put that shit on a C-130.
I mean, what's the point? But then again, what's the point of anything that they do over there? Because they just really are excessive with everything.
Well, it's
too much.
It's a very liberal country, according to them. So, that's why they get to do it. But
have you guys put up your Christmas trees yet?
What? Yeah, no. We just put up our second one because we had a 10-foot real tree that the cats knocked down 3 times. So we went with a fake one this year.
Well, wow. Speaking of real trees, though, did you know? Well, which do you think is greener, a fake Christmas tree or a real Christmas tree? Which is greener for the environment?
Surely a fake tree, isn't it?
Just because you asked, it's going to be the opposite.
You know what? I know which one causes less fucking headache for me. And that's the one that I don't have to haul to my house and then haul out to the road and keep it fucking watered and worry about it burning the fuck down. Fuck a real tree. Yeah, I said it.
Ah, humbug.
I don't even have a fucking Christmas tree. I'm gonna go buy a humbug.
My Christmas tree is decorated with Halloween stuff. I'm not even kidding. My wife decorated it. She made the garland, like made it by hand with it's like little jack-o'-lanterns and little bats and stuff going all the way around the tree. There's a big fuzzy spider crawling around in the branches. It's a fake spider, obviously. There's cobwebs on it instead
of
tinsel.
Do you have kids?
I've got 2 kids.
They're going to be very confused this Christmas.
No, I think he's got a good idea. You can put that thing up in the beginning of October and just be done until the New Year.
Yep.
Now, are you going to take a picture of this for us for the show notes?
I've actually got a lot of pictures of it because some other friends wanted to see it. They're like, really? You decorated it with Halloween stuff?
Just to fuck with your kids, instead of putting presents underneath it, just candy. Every box is full of candy.
That is a present. What are you talking about?
It's Christmas-ween!
Oh, and there's
Doesn't
a big
Homestar Runner do that all the time.
There's a big jack-o'-lantern
That's
on top.
Ween.
December-ween. Yeah.
December.
Whatever.
February-ween, asshole.
It's Christ-ween.
Fuck you.
So much love. I can
like
feel
it's been
love.
Pent up for a while, Gonzo.
It's palpable.
He is angry tonight.
He's been angry. Waiting to say that.
He's about to give a shit.
Yeah, I do. You're right.
Oh boy.
My fiery gingerness comes out at times. I can't help it.
And the last topic on Christmas trees, this will be the last one, is that this guy in Japan managed to power a Christmas tree, the Christmas tree lights, via an electric eel in a tank. And the electric eel just sat around swimming. Whenever it moves, it produces an electrical current in the water. And he had like these 2 diodes in the tank connected to the Christmas lights that sort of lit up the tree. So
People in Japan just can't do anything normal, can they? They just gotta go weird.
It keeps it interesting, though. You know, yeah. if we didn't have Japan to look at and go, what the fuck? Then
life would just get boring.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
We would think we were the strange ones.
We need to harness this, though. We need to find like a way just to harness eels for electricity.
You got to figure, though, it's a two-way street with Japan, because they definitely look at some of the stuff we do and they're like, why? You know.
What was it on the? Was it Eddie Murphy Raw or Eddie Murphy Delirious? Where he was talking about going to China at the McDonald's, and he's probably like, "Yeah, they probably make fun of us when we go in there." You know, whenever we say Big Mac, I like a Big Mac, two fries. It's probably how they look at us.
Yeah, exactly.
But
for America, we're supposed to be normal.
America,
America.
But Opera 11 launched earlier this week with a record sales for its brand, $6.7 million. What the fuck is wrong with me today? 6.7 million downloads in one day, which totally dwarfed its Opera 10 release with 1. Something million.
You know, I haven't used Opera since 2004, and that's just because it was such a memory hog. And it wasn't really much faster than Firefox. It used up so much of my system resources that it just didn't seem worth it. I did love Opera from 1999 all the way till 2004. That's the only thing I used. I loved the mouse gestures, the tabbed browsing that nobody fucking had until recently, and everybody's like, oh, look, we have tabbed browsing. Yeah, well, fucking Opera had it 10 years ago, so where the fuck have you been?
I've only really used Opera on my, Windows Mobile 6.0?
Yeah, me too.
It was the only browser that worked.
Opera Mini. That's the thing I've used the most out of it. Yeah. But
has anyone here used the new Opera?
No, I haven't used it. I haven't used Opera for years. But like Vito was saying, my favorite thing about it always was mouse gestures. And I don't think any other browser has those by default yet. I know there's extensions. Like I have one for Firefox. But I love mouse gestures. I can't, like, not use them. Anytime I'm on a different browser, I'm just, like, right-clicking, dragging all over the place, and nothing's happening, and I go crazy.
It seemed like they were saying that in terms of their conversion rates, people that are coming off from other browsers, it was almost split down the middle. I think it was, like, a 43-53% difference between Firefox users and Internet Explorer users switching to try out the new Opera. Chrome wasn't even a factor in that.
You know what? I'm going to do it. Next week, there will be a review of Opera 11 from Vito number 9. Fucking get ready, kids. It's going to happen. I'm going to do the same thing I did with Firefox 4 on my phone and
rip
pray
a new
to
one.
Jesus that it doesn't fucking suck as bad as that did.
But On the topic of browsers and stuff, Google also with its CR48 pretty much sent out all its shipments. It's cloud-based computer based on Chrome OS. So if you haven't gotten one, you're probably not going to get one.
I'm sad.
Ooh. Wow. Way to just kill any hope.
Yeah, sorry. We didn't get one, so you're on the same boat.
There's one coming to my area tomorrow. It's mine. There will be a review next week. I can't promise that. But
I think there's going to be a front page news story about, you know, a certain young man that went to
robbing
jail.
A UPS truck.
Yeah. that'll be our CR48 news story.
Hijacked the truck and opened every package. Which one of these is from Google?
Where is it, you son of a bitch? I know you've got it.
I know one of our listeners did get one, though. So, lucky Antubis. Son of a bitch. Yes, he did.
Fucking cock.
And he loves to flash it in front of the webcam on Tiny Chat. Bastard. Jeez. it's okay. Not everybody loves Google's Chrome OS, though. In fact, the people behind GNU, which is pretty much the open source licensing community, and the creator of Gmail pretty much have nothing but nasty things to say about Google's Chrome OS. Thoughts?
Haters gonna hate.
Pretty much. That's basically what it boils down to. Honestly, I don't know. I haven't gotten to use it. I haven't gotten to play with it. I've only seen pictures, and see, this is where we can't really say anything. We can't weigh in on it at all because none of us have anything but, you know, secondhand knowledge.
Well, with what we do know right now, suppose we know everything, whatever we know about Google Chrome OS right now, that's what it is in reality. How does this affect Android in terms of overlap in the market? Because if we're getting Android tablets and now we're getting Chrome OS netbooks, isn't that sort of, you know, double-edged sword in a little bit?
Well, I know Google said specifically that they don't want Chrome OS on any tablets. So I think there's still the boundaries between the two.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it's similar to iOS and, you know, Mac OS 10 or, you know, anything. Windows Phone 7 and Windows 7. They're all very different.
Chrome is a very stripped down system. It's not a fully bloomed operating system. It's, you know, a bare bones sort of, this is what you could do. You're on the internet and that's it. If you want to, let's say, you know, do AutoCAD on there, you're not going to be able to. Similar to how Android is. If you're on the internet, you have your apps and shit like that. It's very bare bones.
Yeah.
I'm not really too excited about it or anything. Like, I think it's a neat idea, but I'm not, like, shitting my pants about fucking, all right, Chrome OS. Like, yeah, whatever. I'm taking a very gonzo attitude to it.
It's a way to do it.
I don't give a shit.
I just wanted to get my hands on it because I love playing with new software.
Yeah.
I love breaking down new software.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to play with it, but, like, really, most of the stuff that I do is on the, you know, on the actual computer using, like, Photoshop or Illustrator or, you know, GarageBand doing this podcast. I wouldn't be able to live with just the internet. And, frankly, most of the stuff that I do on just the internet, I do from my phone nowadays anyway, so, you know.
All right, so if you guys want to try out the CR48 or something similar, just go on Chrome and make it full screen.
Yeah.
Boom.
Good point.
The end.
This saved a lot of anticipation.
End of podcast, right there.
Nothing. Been a good week, guys.
But actually, Bazooka Fox, I know you have an Apple TV, correct?
Yes.
And I know you want to do a little review on it, correct?
I guess. I mean, do you want me to?
I would be honored to have you review the Apple TV right now.
All right. So, as Steven said, I got an Apple TV recently this week, so I've been trying to use as much as possible. And I'm someone who doesn't actually have cable. Back when I lived by myself, there was no cable in my house, just internet. And I actually don't have any cable box in my room. So Apple TV, Xbox are kind of all I've been using for streaming. And I definitely say I like the Apple TV more than more than most other streaming devices. It only streams 720p, but, you know, it looks better than anything else I've used. I don't know if that's something with compression or whatever they do. So it works fine, and with the AirPlay is phenomenal. If I'm watching a video on my iPhone, I want to put it to the TV, it works real well. For some reason, though, streaming it from the iPhone works a lot better than the built-in app. So I don't know. And I got it set up with the speakers too. So you know, even if it's not on, you can still stream the AirPlay, and it's cost us as much as the Airport Express. So makes no sense not to buy one if you're gonna use it for that thing. So I don't really have much to say on it. It works well. It does what it's supposed to do. It's a crappy review.
How's skipping forward on it? Like, if I want to, let's say, go from the beginning of the movie to, like, the middle, is it pretty much instantaneous, or is there, like, a buffer that you have to go through?
Well, if it hasn't buffered to a certain point, you know, you can skip to it, and it'll continue to buffer from there.
Okay.
Another weird thing is with AirPlay, it actually buffers slower than it would over the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of lame.
I'm using an 802.11in network, so I don't think it's anything with bandwidth or any of that. But it just seems a little slower. And 1080p video is choppy streaming over, I guess, you know, because it's trying to push more than it can handle. So that's one little bad thing about it, I guess.
So if somebody was going to say, you know what, I'm interested in getting the Apple TV this holiday season for Christmas, what would you tell them?
I say do it. I mean, hell, if you're not even going to use it for streaming video, you can still use it for streaming audio. I mean, you get all your videos. I don't really care much for the whole $1.99 for each episode I want to watch. A lot of it's just streaming from my computer. But even using that, like, it just works well. If you want to, if you have someone over and you want to show them a video, or I guess with family it works too, because I got one set up downstairs. So if my mom wants to show something from her iPad or some picture she took and it's uploaded on her iPhone, she can just hit send it to the Apple TV, goes on the screen. So not everyone has to crowd around a small little device just to look at it.
Now, so, are you streaming it off of a Mac or a PC?
Off of a Mac.
Okay. Have you tried streaming from PC at all? Like, if that experience is any better or worse, or
I've streamed with a PC, but just audio. I don't have any videos on my PC, or my parents' PC. So,
is there any kind of? I mean, I know you said you don't have a cable. You don't have cable or whatever. But is there any kind of integration with a cable box or anything similar to like what Google TV?
Not at all. You basically just have to switch the inputs.
Right.
There's no integration at all, so it's just either you're watching TV or you're using your Apple TV or you're doing what else. So.
Right.
It'd be awesome if you made a browser on this thing.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, because I've got the Logitech review, and it was like a toss-up between that and the Apple TV, but I ended up getting the review for free. So I went with that for obvious reasons. But, I do like the AirPlay idea, and the Google TV has nothing along those lines as of yet.
Yeah, it's a stripped down device. It's not gonna have everything you need as far as your movies and your videos. Like I said, I have an Xbox also, so it's not gonna solve all your problems. But it's nice to have, especially if you're already in the Apple universe with the iPad and the iPhone and the Mac.
Yeah, so. That's my problem. Is that I'm kind of knee deep in the Apple universe, and then I have this Google TV that doesn't integrate with any of it.
Yeah.
Staying on the topic of Apple universe, thank you, Bazooka Fox, by the way. Great. Okay. That was actually a really good review.
Wow.
Woohoo!
Doing good things.
We did something right.
Now let's
fight. Can I do it again? I need to do this terribly. I throw more ums and you knows in.
But there was The big brouhaha this last week was also about Infinity Blade on the iOS. Apparently some new game that pushes boundaries and does stuff. Anybody tried it out yet?
Yeah,
I haven't tried it. I mean, I still have the original tech demo. What was it? Epic Citadel that they launched way back when?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess it looks pretty much the same to that, but I don't know. I haven't played the full game yet, but I can tell you it looks pretty, if nothing else.
Who said that they had it? Bazooka?
Yeah, I do have it.
What do you think?
It looks fucking good. I have an iPhone 4, and it looks better than a lot of my Xbox 360 games.
Now, what kind of a game is it again?
Play.
Well, as far as playing goes, it's one of the few games that isn't, just like a drag and drop kind of thing, like cut the rope, but it still uses the iPhone control as well. You have the side of the iPhone, you have the dodge buttons. And you dodge and you block your enemies until you can see an opening and, hit them back. So it's not super in-depth, but it's a good time burner, and it's got a lot more mechanics to it than most other iPhone games. So
it's
a step in the right direction. No, it's a sword fighting game.
Oh, okay.
I thought we understood that with Infinity Blade.
Well, Blade Runner isn't about swords.
Yeah.
So, ha.
Booyah.
Proven wrong, all right.
And also the last thing about the iOS is, I don't know who posted this, Pirates versus Ninjas versus Zombies versus Pandas is a new iOS game that's coming up.
I actually saw it on the topic list and I downloaded it, so I haven't played it yet. But
you got to play it, dude. I want to play it, but I have no idea what happened to my iPhone 3GS. It's lost in my house somewhere.
I mean, I'll play it for the rest of the podcast.
We need a live review. Start playing it now and tell us everything that happens.
If it's a game where I get to kill pandas, I'm all for it.
If you heard me. Yeah, the original trailer is pretty sweet. I mean, it doesn't show any gameplay, but they do have a gameplay.
There is a gameplay video in there. And from the gameplay video, it looks like they kind of took
Angry Birds
and then they added some weird shit to it. Like, no, with the ninjas, you can tap the screen and direct the ninja so they like go around corners and it's crazy. Crazy stuff.
I just played level 1 and this is Angry Birds.
But cooler because it has pirates, ninjas, and zombies.
Ninjas and pandas.
I killed a ninja, or I killed a panda with what I'm assuming is a pirate because it has like gold teeth.
It could be a pimpin' ninja.
Sorry, it's a rapper.
I killed it with Lil Wayne. That's it. And I got 3 stars on the level, so that's that. It's basically Angry Birds.
There's your live review of pirates versus ninjas versus zombies versus pandas.
Well, there's got to be more to it than that.
Oh, wait, all right. Here we go. Now I'm on level 2.
I mean, you play the first level of Angry Birds, and it changes a lot from there, because you start off with just the basic bird, and then you get, like, the boomerang bird and the kamikaze bird.
Okay, well, I guess here's the difference, is that level 2, there's a bunch of pandas, and then there's a bunch of pirates on the level, and I am a pirate, so I have to not kill them. So that's a...
Interesting.
That's the twist. That's the kicker.
What the twist.
But still, it's Angry Birds.
If you like Angry Birds with a twist, give it a shot. Pirates versus ninjas versus zombies versus pandas. Or
is it free?
No, it's 99 cents.
Yeah, screw that noise.
Says the guy that bought an Apple TV.
Yeah.
I'll spend $99. Yeah, okay.
But 99 cents, that's just too far.
I draw the line there.
The line must be drawn here.
I think we should, I'll post a link to it in the actual podcast so people can look at it. But there's the great Oatmeal comic about 99 cent apps. I've seen that.
It's great. It's pretty much dead on too.
It's dead on. I mean, I do that with every 99 cent app I've seen.
I'm pretty sure if everybody who listens to this podcast knows about the Oatmeal and his comics. He's a comic.
And if you don't,
genius.
Fuck off.
Go to theoatmeal.com. He's got a whole bunch of comics set up, and that he draws himself, and he also does a blog every so often with something original. But it's if you want a good laugh at, he sort of pokes fun at the grim realities of things sometimes, but
and teaches you about grammar.
Yes.
Yeah. So go right now. Pause us. Go read it. We'll wait.
I think my personal favorite is why I would rather be punched in the testicles than talk to customer support. I love that one.
I'm a fan of how to prepare your pets for war.
Yes.
There's a picture of like a little kitten with an army helmet and a grenade.
Actually, I have one of his stickers on my laptop that says, "May a squadron of beautiful vaginas find their way to your crotch by day's end."
Words to live by.
So anybody who looks at my laptop gets those words of wisdom. So anyway, theoatmeal.com for that.
That's definitely better than have a nice day.
It's definitely.
Benguin, I know you have a pick of the week for us, correct?
I do. I don't have a full-fledged app review or anything of the sort for you all, but I do want to highlight a website I have been visiting lately, and I'm sure the rest of the panel is familiar with. It is Doodle of Boredom by our very own Kaiser Machead, with showcasing his wonderful artistic skills. Go look at it. It's fantastic.
Who?
Kaiser Machead.
The hell is that?
Fuck,
shut up.
You be trolling.
He's only been on this podcast like 4 times.
Can we request money from him now that we've mentioned his website?
Advertising maybe. Revenue.
Yeah, maybe he can pay me back for buying the White Noise podcast. Not going to have to buy the Noisecast or whatever we are.
Guess what,
guys? He's got great art about dinosaurs and other geekery. So
Zuka Fox, come on.
Yeah, it's really good, actually. Go visit it, doodleofboredom.com. Kaiser Machead, our first official sponsor for the White Noise Podcast.
That he doesn't know
whether
about.
Whether he knows it or not.
He'll find out.
My favorite one of his, though, is the stormtrooper riding the baby elephant.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I think that's a new one, isn't it?
December 16th, the post says.
So, be sure to visit. He actually has amazing artistic abilities, and he should go pro. I don't know why he doesn't, but he should, and sell it at, like, Comic-Cons and stuff.
Yeah, he's one of those artists that's just, like, a jerk because he doesn't do anything with it, but he's awesome.
He's a snob.
Yes.
I could do it. It's no big deal. That was the impression of Kaiser.
Yeah, is that what he sounds like?
That's pretty spot on, I must say. I have talked to him.
All right. Telus, or is it Telus, wants to bundle Xbox 360s with Windows Phone 7 devices. That means you'll be getting a free Xbox 360 with every Windows Phone 7 purchase this holiday season.
Now, somebody fill me in. Is there any actual integration between them other than, like, Xbox Live? But can you, like, do anything, like, stream your phone to your Xbox or anything like that? Or
I think it's basically the same kind of integration that the PSP has with the PS3, which is to say no.
PS3 and the PSP have something. You can download PS1.
You can use it as a secondary screen for some games, can't you? Like a rear view mirror or something like that in racing games?
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Two people tried that.
I know that was bandied about way back when it was first launched. I don't know if that ever happened.
So you have to get like a mount for your TV to put your phone on so you can actually see it?
Yes.
That sounds like the dumbest idea ever.
I think go ahead.
No, you go.
I think the only integration is that you could play phone games and Xbox games and have it all contribute to your overall gamer score on Xbox Live.
Gamer score is so important.
The reason I ask is because I was at an AT&T store recently. I had to do some shit, whatever. And they had it was right after Windows Phone 7 had launched. And so they had this whole little display with an Xbox right there. I was like, why? What's the point of this? It has nothing to do with anything. Whatever.
Has anybody used Windows Phone 7 yet or seen anybody using it?
No.
No, unfortunately.
Wow. So this sort of begs to wonder, is Windows Phone 7 sort of lagging behind in sales? Didn't have the big bang they wanted to? We won't know.
I've seen a couple random people come into my work with Windows 7 phones. But not very many. And I'm curious. I actually do want to play with it, see what it's like, but I haven't had the opportunity.
I think one of the biggest drawbacks they have is people still remember, like, Windows Mobile 6.0 or 6.5. Because, I hang out with people and they see the commercials for Windows Phone 7, and, you know, their first response is, oh, Windows phones suck. So I think people are still reluctant to actually go out and get a Windows Phone 7.
Maybe they need to come out with an ad campaign of Windows Phone Mojave.
I enjoyed that ad campaign. I thought it was hilarious.
It was funny, but people down. Come on.
It doesn't matter. It sat people down, and people are like, oh, wow, I really like this. And they specifically look for people that said they fucking hated Vista, and they sit them down and they get them in front of it, and they're like, oh man, this is really cool. This is Vista. Wow, I'm a jackass.
Punked, bitch.
It just shows how dumb people are.
That's exactly why I liked it, because people just said, oh, I fucking hate Vista because somebody said it sucks, even though I've never fucking touched it myself.
I think this is the moment.
Bitch about Vista, and I used Vista for a while, and I didn't have one fucking problem with it.
I've been using Vista since 2007. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah,
love it.
I never had like a huge problem with it, and I was like, what's the problem here?
The problem is somebody told them that they shouldn't like it, and they're like, oh, okay, I shouldn't like this. The same fucking people that panicked over swine flu.
Y2K,
yes,
man.
Swine flu
Y2K.
Was not a big deal. swine flu fucking infected less people worldwide than the regular flu killed in America alone every year.
That
everybody
shit,
that panicked over it, you're fucking
serious.
Retarded.
Man, you're really on a soapbox right now.
I think this is a good point to give Vito a little breather. And the point that actual listeners have been waiting for. The trivia question.
Yay.
What it's all about.
Can we shout out our answers?
No.
Damn it.
But,
can we use lifelines?
No. No 50-50s, no phone a friend, no bribing podcast members.
Worst here's how trivia ever.
Here's how this is going to work, okay? Since we've done 10 episodes, 1 through 10, the answer will lie in one of those 10 episodes. If you listen to all of them and you remember all of them, it should be fairly simple for you to answer this question. If you didn't, well, start listening to the ones you didn't listen to. But, so I'm going to ask a question, and what's going to happen is you have until December 24th at 11:59 and 59 seconds p.m. Eastern Time to email your answer to the.noisecast@gmail.com. On the 25th, early in the morning, I will shake up the answer list, the emails, print them out, put them in a hat. Five of those emails will be chosen at random. And those five emails will have a very nice $10 Amazon gift card sitting in their inbox on Christmas Day.
La. Oh. So, how generous of you, Santa Callis.
Yes. This is our very first White Noise podcast sort of contest. Listener, reader.
Of DRM free music.
Yes. Reader appreciation Christmas extravaganza bonanza.
Yeah, people don't read our podcast, dude.
What? They may read the show notes.
Maybe deaf people. No, no, we told deaf people in the disclaimer not to stick around. So.
So. All right.
Whoa.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes, do so. We're sitting on the edge of our seats.
Okay. Here's a trivia question that you must answer. On one of our first 10 episodes, we decided, could somebody stop scratching the cat post? What the hell is going on over there? But, okay. On one of our first 10 episodes, we decided that the next money-making venture would be to shoot down satellites from orbit. Who did we decide would be the best person for this job? Okay, again, you have till December 24th, 11:59 and 59 seconds p.m. Eastern Time to email your answer at the.noisecast@gmail.com. Five random people will be chosen to win a $10 Amazon.com gift certificate.
Now, make
now,
sure...
Do their answers have to be phrased in the form of a question, Jeopardy style?
No.
I want everybody to thank me for my self-control because I was seconds away from yelling out the answer. I muted myself, so my roommate heard the answer, but...
Well, your roommate,
is disqualified.
No, don't worry. He doesn't give a shit about anything that we do, so...
So, all right. So now that we got that out, let's get away from this topic as soon as possible because somebody's going to spill the beans, but anyway.
Ah, beans.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tron Legacy. I know some of you went and saw that. We're not going to be doing any spoilers because some people haven't seen it. I know who are listeners. I personally haven't seen it. I want to go see it. But people who
horrible,
did go to
horrible
see
horrible people.
People who did actually see it, who had no lives and went and saw it.
Hey, fuck you.
Say what you will. Say what you will. You know you want to see it. I went to the midnight show, and I talked three of my friends to go in with me, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Why would I want to go to a midnight show? And it's very simple. This is why you should always go to a midnight show for something like this. You know that you're going to be surrounded by like-minded geeks. You also know that people are not going to take their screaming 8-year-old child to see the movie at a midnight showing. Those two reasons right there should be why you go to see a midnight show.
That's I don't know. I've had the screaming kids in the midnight show before.
I went to a 10:30 show and it was great as far as the people in the audience.
Now, you've all seen the original Tron, correct?
Yep.
And,
okay. Wait, this is a sequel?
Oh, God.
Haze yourself.
What are
an original?
What are your guys' impressions on the new one? Does it live up to the hype? Better? Worse? Meh?
It was good. I liked it a lot.
I think it lived up to the hype. Very much so. The only thing that bothered me was the CG render of Clue. I mean, because the face, the render itself looks really good, but whenever he started talking, it's just threw me off a little bit.
I thought that was
close
great
attention because I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Same
yeah,
here.
Like that was actually one of my favorite effects through the whole movie. Like I know a couple movies have had that, you know, de-aging effect in them, but none that I can think of quite to the extent as this one. And it was, to me, like I thought it was amazing. Like, oh, look, that's Jeff Bridges 20 years ago.
Look, it was very, very good for what it was. I'm not saying that it was bad CG by any stretch of the imagination, but I tend to pick things apart, so I could you can tell that it's CG, but it is very good CG. The story's good, the special effects are amazing.
Yeah. With the light bikes, that was looks good.
I had chills. I was so happy that I went to the midnight show to see it.
Now, you went to the midnight show, and you said you were surrounded by like-minded geeks. Did you promote this podcast at all?
No, I did not.
You motherfucker.
God damn it.
What do we pay you for?
You don't pay me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're not going to now.
That was a test.
No, we did have two people show up in completely covered in... what was it? Thermal underwear? But they had on thermal underwear, but they had taken blue marker to it. And they were wearing bicycle helmets with blue marker on them, so they looked like
that's pretty classy.
Extras from the Tron. Yeah.
So the overall consensus for Tron Legacy is go see it. It's a good time.
I thought it was better to see in 3D too. Like I saw it in 3D, and I really enjoyed the 3D.
I have the opposite opinion. I enjoyed the 3D, don't get me wrong, but I don't feel it was really worth the extra money. The 3D was cool, but most of the movie is actually 2D, and then the 3D just kind of kicks in for some scenes. And yeah. I don't know, like it was a really cool thing, and if you can scam someone into giving you a free ticket, then yeah, go see 3D. But if you're just paying it for it, you're out of your own pocket, and you don't want to spend $20 for IMAX 3D, whatever, then 2D is definitely serviceable and very good movie anyways.
I thought the 3D was a better visual experience than Avatar, in my opinion, because I fucking hated Avatar.
I still have not seen it, and I refuse to see it.
Fuck Avatar. Watch Pocahontas.
Well, you're not missing anything, trust me. I had a free ticket to Avatar, and I wanted, like, the however long it was, minutes of my life back.
He wanted his money back, too.
I'm too cool for Avatar, says you guys.
I was.
All right. We got a couple of odd technological stories this evening. The first being, in the Czech Republic, which is no longer Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, they decided to use cardboard cutouts of female police officers to sort of deter people from speeding and to slow down,
and that totally works.
And it sort of backfired because the cardboard cutouts were female traffic police officers in miniskirts with their legs showing and like all being all sexy and stuff on like the sides of the roads, and it totally backfired and caused double the amount of accidents it was supposed to prevent because guys who were driving were oogling at the cardboard cutouts' legs. Than paying attention to the road.
Now, see, what I
did I say Acme on them?
was it that they were staring at their legs, or were they wondering what the fuck is she doing wearing a miniskirt in the middle of the snow?
That's what I'm wondering too. Like people be like, "Oh man, that's a real police officer. They're in there in the snow in a miniskirt and heels."
Well,
I better slow down.
One driver involved in the crash, and I'm quoting, he denied he was oogling the cutout, saying, "I admit I was looking at her. thinking, what the hell is she wearing a miniskirt for in this weather? So you are not alone in your thoughts, Vito and Gonzo.
Good. I'm glad there are other rational people in the Czech Republic.
But it's funny, too, because they actually, the cardboard cutouts, this is what's bizarre. Instead of just, you know, having like a photo of an actual policewoman, they actually put the police vests and the jackets and stuff for the cutouts. They actually attached them on later.
But they didn't bother giving her any pants.
No, so they had most of the stuff. Their big the biggest complaint of the Interior Ministry was that stuff got stolen.
Somebody didn't think this plan through.
And then eventually, somebody ended up stealing the female police officer.
This is the kind of story I feel like was made just for podcasts like ours.
Well, the Czech Interior Ministry is now rethinking the scheme.
Oh, okay.
So all is okay.
I don't know. It seems like a solid plan. Maybe a few tweaks here and there.
Like pants and not making the jackets and the vets an afterthought? A radio station provided the props.
Even better, don't put the female officers out there looking like hookers in the snow, man. Come on.
Well, the whole reason behind this, they decided to do this because it would be cheaper than putting traffic lights up. Traffic lights would be too costly. So they decided to do this plan instead.
Well, are they trying to stop speeding or for like congested intersections?
Whatever it is, more people crashed than before, so it was a failure.
I think we better put up stop signs and try to control intersections.
Stop sign with mannequin legs attached to it.
Sexy.
Great conversation. Stop sign in a miniskirt.
But see, then you're going to have the same problem. Why is that stop sign wearing a miniskirt in this weather? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, at that point, I'd probably assume I was tripping. Oh, those are some bad shrooms.
I'm never buying from that guy again.
And the last weird gadget, I guess, story. Venezuela held a beauty pageant for Barbie dolls.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Isn't that all of them?
Venezuela has an obsession with beauty pageants. Like, they take beauty pageants way too seriously. And this Barbie doll contest, beauty pageant they had, was actually people, like, gussying up and putting makeup on their Barbie dolls and doing their hair and custom shirts and custom skirts and stuff. So they did a pageant. They did a Barbie doll pageant. The whole reason they did this was to find out who will represent the country in the Miss Barbie Universe contest.
Look, I want to say I have no idea how this relates to technology or gadgets or geekery, but thank you, because this is going to be good. What the fuck? Why
is that Barbie wearing a miniskirt in the middle of winter?
Okay. The quote of this article is, "The audience burst into unrestrained excitement when the winner was announced."
Good lord.
They had an audience that went crazy.
For a customized Barbie doll. How did the audience see the Barbie dolls?
There were riots everywhere.
Maybe they had them on a big video screen.
Even better, did they trot them out like little girls playing dolls in their rooms? Did they like bounce them back and forth? Like
they had like one of those fake like puppet stages, and they just kind of held it up on a stick and walked it down.
Well,
I think it was zip lines.
The guy who won it though was really excited and very honored.
Guy?
Yes.
This keeps on getting better and better.
Wait, I didn't mention that a guy had won it. You have to watch the video for that. But yeah, they interviewed him. It was some dude who was very excited to be now participating.
His father must be so proud.
Actually, his father's probably denying his existence right now. I have no son.
Now, did they get any quote from his wife or girlfriend? Oh wait, no, I'm assuming.
So you assume too much, sir.
Well, I quote the article. "This is serious business, considering that Miss Barbie Venezuela won the crown last year." And things get pretty intimate too, said one event organizer.
Whoa.
Going too far.
It's a sort of symbiosis between the organizer and the doll. You become something strange there, and it's like your daughter, but at the same time, you are you, and you create its personality.
It's a scary world we live in, folks.
Oh, boy.
We can't top that. We should just stop making podcasts now.
That's it.
You know what, Japan? Venezuela had one-upped you.
Try harder, Japan.
Don't entice Japan. They'll come up with something even better.
Yeah, we're gonna don't provoke them.
Oh man, Venezuela. On that note, I think I know what I want for Christmas.
A Barbie doll.
Yes.
You want to represent America in the Miss Barbie doll universe?
Yes.
It becomes a part of you.
I want to get intimate with my Barbie doll.
All right.
Oh, man. Oh. I think we should wrap up with what you guys want for Christmas. If you guys were to choose one thing to find in your stocking, in your stockings that you're not wearing, what would it be?
Does it have to be actually stocking sized?
It could be enormous size. I don't care. It could be a double XL lady size. It doesn't matter.
I want a brand new Xbox 360 because mine is still fucked up.
Me That's too.
Gonzo, what do you want from Santa?
You know, Vito said a new Xbox, and I want a new Xbox because mine red ringed and it's dead forever. But to get something different, I really, really need more hard drive space. So I'm thinking a new external hard drive.
Ooh,
I want
size looking at.
Probably 2 terabytes.
Oh, he's not lowballing at all. He's not compromising.
No dicking around here.
No.
I want either Rock Band 3 and or the Mustang Pro guitar that goes with it, or just whiskey. It's not exactly gadget related, but whiskey.
And I already got whiskey, so I'm good. My buddy bought me some American honey, and I'm living the high life.
No, yeah, my cousin actually gave me early a 1.75 liter bottle of Jack Daniels, but more whiskey is always good.
Hey, you never have too much whiskey.
Bazooka never. Fox, what about you, Christmas?
I have to agree with the booze.
Booze?
Yeah.
You're not old enough to drink, no.
Oh, yeah.
My podcast does not endorse underage drinking, sir.
But we do endorse Barbie doll pageants.
Yes.
I just want a new Barbie doll.
Something tasteful.
And maybe some wine to drink with her.
Sparkling cider for you.
Some sparkling cider.
Some of that grape juice they give at Baptist Church.
Okay, Rantaraj, what about you?
Wait, what are we talking about?
What do you want for Christmas?
Oh, sorry. I was playing Pirates versus Ninjas.
Oh, live review update.
I'm still going. It's gotten interesting. I'm now using ninjas, and they do sweet aerial attacks on these pandas. I hate pandas, so this is great.
So what do you want for Christmas?
I don't know, a couple beers. That'd be good.
We're drunks.
Bunch of fucking alcoholics.
That's about it. My Xbox works fine, so I'll take a couple beers.
All right.
Well, how about you, Kallus? Tell us, leader.
Fearless leader.
He wants some anal beads so he can beat people with them.
Beat the pimps down.
He can live out his real Putty City Pimps fantasies.
He wants nobody to guess the answer to his trivia question so he doesn't have to pay for the Amazon tickets.
Yes. That'd be awesome if we have no emails, if you like.
Oh, it wouldn't, because that means nobody's fucking listening.
Well, I thought there were
5 of us on the panel right now, so that maybe we can keep them.
I think the unrealistic gift I would want is a 1 terabyte solid-state drive, but those are like $3,000.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually do want a solid-state drive for my PlayStation. That'd be sweet for faster load times.
You've been a good boy?
Yeah, I ordered the Gran Turismo 5 Collector's Edition, so it would be nice to get a solid state drive with that. Of course I've been good. Have I ever given you a reason to think otherwise?
Yes,
the cartoon.
Yeah, there's basically every day I talk to you.
Pretty much episodes 1 through 10 of the White Noise podcast.
and the beta.
Don't forget about 11 that we're doing right now.
Yeah,
that's true.
Look, you don't even have to mention the podcast. Just the cartoon that he made, that's enough.
Yeah.
That alone.
Even that podcast you weren't in, you were still probably bad during that.
Wait, what is this cartoon he made?
Oh, you're in for a treat, sir.
I got to start paying attention to stuff, man.
Oh, God.
Somebody post it somewhere. Post it in his Google Doc, and it'll be part of the show notes.
Oh, God. Just when I was, like, happy that it's, like, right above 100 views and it's, like, not climbing anymore, I was like, okay, it's good. Everybody's seen it.
Nah, I missed
it. Now you're going to get 102.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, I have a question. Do they have, like, a runway runoff at the Barbie pageant? Like, do they, like, you know, sort of, like, prop up, like, mannequin their Barbies down a runway?
I was wondering if they have a Miss Congeniality.
Are you supposed to have a little tea party with a Barbie doll, you know, to show off her manners? Does she get to ask questions?
I want to know how intense this gets. Like, how many people actually attend?
Well, it's a sort of symbiosis between the organizer and the doll.
I mean, so you're saying some guy in his basement just videotaped himself having a pageant with his Barbie?
No, they go. It's an event. They go there. It's like, you know, it's a huge thing.
It's a place to be in Venezuela.
There. Is it a national sport?
Apparently.
I wonder if they live tweeted it.
They should.
I wonder if they have a website. Are they professional?
Can I enter?
Oh, maybe
for next year.
They do have a website, though. Oh, BarbiePageant.com. You can see the winners from last year. I did some research.
Some Googling?
Oh, boy. On that note.
Oh, God. Okay, anyway.
Let's wrap this up.
Wrap it up like a Christmas present.
Yes.
Oh.
See, she did there. All right.
Don't forget to email us your answer at the.noisecast@gmail.com for the trivia question to enter yourself a chance to win a $10 Amazon.com gift certificate. Yay! Don't forget also to follow us, twitter.com/noisecast, and at thewhitenoisepodcast.com. Check out Ron Taraj's new website design for the holiday season. We want to wish you all a very safe, happy, and Merry Christmas. Even those that don't celebrate, may it be a safe and happy day for you too.
Christmas on a Quantica.
Yes.
Yay.
So, on this episode, episode 11, we had Ron Taraj, who's still doing his Pirates Ninja thing.
Yeah, it's a good game. Go buy it.
Wow, that was a whole 180 from the original review. Benguin.
Goodbye, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Gonzo Ryder.
Whee!
Beetle number 9.
I got nothing.
And Bazooka nice. Fox.
Providing you with hot, hot podcast love.
And I am Stephen Kellis, and thank you all again for coming tonight. And see you next week, same time, same place, the White Noise Podcast.
White Noise.